Fernandez can. Good morning, everyone. This is October 9th on our regular Sunday meeting. We are at the lesson part, and the lesson today is called A Spiritual Zion. And I'm going to go ahead and bring up the lesson and share it. So let me do that. Can you all see that?
Sure.
Okay, we'll go with that. So this is a lesson. It's either an entitled lesson of a spiritual Zion or the Ark Builders. And it is built as I was trying to understand more of what Mauricio is talking about when he speaks of a spiritual Zion. And I went back to how we get spiritual, what were we before we were born? And it became important to me to know that Adam knew God. And then it became important to know that Adam lived long enough to also know Noah, and Noah knew Adam. And so the part of the sealed book that talks to us about the age that everybody was, we know that Adam was in the Garden of Eden with God. And we know that in the time when everything was becoming earth and growing and people were being born, that Adam taught a lot of people. He taught all of his descendants. And Noah was pretty young, and Adam was pretty old. But Noah, he heard, sat and listened to Adam and received all of these teachings that God had given to Adam. He had listened to Adam's teaching and knew that these were teachings of God, his creator. And it's important to understand that. And this is where I gave you guys the inspired version from Joseph Smith. And it was in, so I gave you those, let me find it. See, I tried to clean up today and it didn't really work, did it? Okay, here it is. The inspired version, Joseph Smith's new translation of the Bible, in Genesis 2, and that's what we were starting with. And so in Genesis 2, there is verses 5, verses 9, and verses 11. I'm going to read those really quickly. For I, the Lord God, created all things of which I have spoken spiritually, before they were naturally upon the face of the earth. For I, the Lord God, had not caused it to rain upon the face of the earth. And verse 9, nevertheless, all things were before created, but spiritually were they created and made according to my word. And number 11, and out of the ground made I, the Lord God, to grow every tree naturally that is pleasant to the sight of man, and man could behold it. And it became also a living soul, for it was spiritual in the day that I created it. For it remaineth in the sphere in which I, God, created it, yea, even all things which I prepared for the use of man. And man saw that it was good for food. So everything that God created, he made spiritually before it became a tangible thing on earth. So the question becomes that Mosiah, Mauricio talked to us about was being an ark builder. So how do you think Noah felt when he understood what God was asking him to do? I mean, I just am thinking, like, really, if I was in Noah's shoes, I would feel very uncertain. Like, are you sure you picked the right person? And no, I don't think I can do this. And certainly the kids are not likely to help. Or, you know, I don't know how to use any of the tools. I don't have a saw. I don't know how to use any of that. All of that stuff would probably be in my mind first. So if Noah felt that way with all those questions, he was not ever going to get that ark built in time. So how did he do it? Mauricio has talked to us about being the ark builders. So how are we going to do it? So I thought more of, well, what is Noah doing? And this is what I came up with. I think that he had to step out of the box. I think he had to come away from human thinking. He had to go inside of himself and forget all of that traditional thinking. And he had to put himself closer to God. And he ultimately had to say, this is your will. And your will needs to be done on earth. Now, was that the reason that the ark had to be built? I mean, what was the reason? So what was God asking Noah to do? I think he was asking Noah to build an ark to save everyone. You know, people had to, at that point, be given a chance to make a decision. And I'm sure Noah talked to people, but how many of them listened? Mostly none. And now Mauricio is asking us that we be like the ark builders of our time. Are we not listening? Are we trying hard to get rid of the traditions of our thinkings and teachings to be able to embrace more of the sealed book? And we weren't really given like what Noah was given. This is what you're going to do. You're going to build a wooden boat and it's going to be this big. But we have been given something else. So what's the name of it? Noah's Ark's already taken. So what are we going to call it? The Ark of the Church of Christ, Mauricio's Ark, Moroni's Ark, or the United Order, or the City of Refuge, or the Missouri City of Refuge, or the Ark in Kirkland. Well, Mauricio's already named it, and he's named it a spiritual Zion. So I believe that this ark is supposed to save us in a period when the whole earth, and this is from one of Mauricio's lessons, and he said, the whole earth will groan for the afflictions that will befall our nations. The United Order, the building of it, is the building of a spiritual Zion that must come before the Lord returns. Now, traditions don't follow that exactly. They state that he comes. He gets up one day and says, we're at the end, because we're not supposed to know the end. So at the end of our time on earth, under Satan's rule, is when the Lord is going to return. We've all been taught that. So does that make sense? Well, God's plan always makes sense. So why are we being asked to build a spiritual Zion? And why is it that Mauricio has said this spiritual Zion is going to start in Brazil? Last night when we had our lesson and Brother Bob gave us in his talk, and I had to think about this because, Robert, in your talk, you talked about this and I had already written this. I changed it a little bit, but it's basically the same. In Matthew 24:3, the disciples had asked Jesus, what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world? And Jesus said there would be an event. And he said, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And then in Matthew 24:16, it indicates that we will need to be familiar with the scriptures to recognize the sign, to act on Jesus's instructions, to develop discernment and spiritual perceptions, to recognize the turn of events taking place. Because when this happens, there will be no time to pack your things. It's simply go. And in this event, the Lord had said, go to the mountains. Haven't we been taught? I mean, there is a tradition that says, flee to the mountains to be safe. Does it also say to be in the mountains until the time comes that we're told to go to Missouri? And then what? We go to Missouri to build the temple. What does the sealed book teach us? What is Mauricio teaching us? So where is the new Kirkland, the spiritual Zion, going to be, and why? I think that's really a big question. Why? So in the Acts of the Three Nephites, in Moroni's letters, and in Mauricio's lessons, we need to rethink everything. Now, I've lived in many places. Utah is different. So in throwing out what we've been taught about moving to Missouri and the safety of the mountains and building the temple, if we just sit for a minute. One thing that struck me when I moved to Utah is that just about everyone has a camper or a motorhome or some sort of truck or a fifth wheel or a trailer. I mean, it was amazing to me that I would drive somewhere and there's a house and an RV, a house and an RV everywhere. Why? They have bought land and built cabins and family compounds. But I've never heard of anybody being taught to build a spiritual Zion. So what comes first? The ark or the rain? The spiritual Zion or Jesus's return to earth? Are we going to drive an RV to Brazil? I don't even know if people in Brazil have RVs. And yet we have been told that Brazil is going to be the beginning of the sealed of the spiritual Zion. So in going back to the sealed book, this again is things that I was just thinking. The sealed book teaches us about the sentiments and the lofty feelings, teaches us about the fruit of the good branches. And in the ark, in the Acts of the Three Nephites, we have been given specific instruction of how to set up the law of consecration and be able to allow people to grow within the United Order. The Lord realizes that not everyone will be on the same understanding of how things work. We have been named the elect. I just don't feel that I know enough to make anything work. And I don't really feel very elect either. But here's the thing. Jesus said we need the feelings that correspond to the names of God. So does the feelings come first or the names of God? Which do we learn first? And what is the importance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? So Galatians 5:22-23 has the gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in it. And in, this says FC, but it's D&C 46 is a chapter about the name of God and Spirit, the Holy Spirit gifts and things. We also have talked about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts of the Three Nephite 14, which is the parable of the vineyard, it talks about the names of the Lord. So here's one thing that I've put together. Maybe you guys have all, already figured this out, but this is what I was figuring that I have figured out. If we take the gift of healing as an example, now, and no one has all of the gifts. We're all learning to develop our gifts. And so the gift of healing is to invoke love and empathy, love for the person, empathy for the pain. And it's not just that person, you know, we need to think of the family, the purpose of who this person is in God's plan. And when we use this gift, if, you know, someone has this gift, when they're using it, they need to ask what God's will is. You know, is the healing part of his will? His will needs to be done. In the sealed book, Moses, chapter 3, verse 55, and I paraphrased it here. It reads in part, seeking you in the highest feelings that may exist in earthly man, who bring forth the power of my priesthood among the children of men in the flesh. My name cannot be pronounced by the human mouth, but in your heart, invoking the feelings that prefigures my whole being, which you could only understand in the realm of human understanding as being the most sublime and elevated feeling that there is, unconditional love. So in order for the gifts to be working, we need to be at a specific level that is enables us to use the power of the priesthood of God. And so the question is, how do we get there? And is this the purpose of building a spiritual Zion that we need to be doing and working towards? Is this a piece of the ascension that we talk about and are asking God for discernment and understanding? So I kind of started at the beginning and tried to get what it is that Mauricio is talking to us about. So what I'd like to do is take these verses and study them a little bit. If each of you want to take one of these, and we'll read it and we'll go through them and see if we can get a meaning more in line with what Mauricio has been teaching us.
Sister Jeannie?
Yes.
May I comment for a minute?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I'd like to back up to Noah.
Okay.
I think you had asked a question about the spiritual Zion. Oh, I know exactly how you phrased it in relation to the ark, about Noah being overwhelmed making the ark. I think what the scriptures are teaching us is that the physical is the easy part, that the spiritual is the difficult part. And in the life of Noah and Enoch, we learn that the story sort of starts in the middle. Noah was chosen, or Enoch was chosen, because he had all the right feelings in his heart. Well, I think the same situation with Noah, because in Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 9, it says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And so I think the spiritual part of creating the ark had already been made. He had the right feelings. And when it came time to make the physical implementation, he might have wondered why, but I think in compared to do it, to achieving the spiritual side, I think that the physical side was easier. And I think that's what we're learning with the spiritual temple, that when the second invitation was first announced, actually people in the congregation I attended, they were ready to go make the physical temple, quit their jobs and get their equipment and, you know, actually start building the physical. But just like in the days of, in the book of Haggai, you know, Haggai reminded the people that it's not going to work unless you've got the spiritual part in place. And so I think there's a pattern there that we're just, Mauricio is just leading us, or the sealed book is instructing us that that's, that pattern has to exist, just like creation, just like what God did in the Lord Jesus Christ is described in Colossians, that they were created spiritually before it was done physically. And the sealed book refers a lot of references to in the beginning, you know, or before the foundation of the world, these kind of references. So I think it's just falling in the pattern of the way God does things. Thank you.
Any other thoughts?
Yes, I also had a thought about, you asked about the building a temple, but I think a spiritual temple is built whenever souls are gathered. You know, you get to know each other, and yeah, that's good, because if you know each other, then you can have compassion for each other. And that's also one of the names of God. But what I wanted to share was Sealed Book of Moses, chapter 4, verse 66, where it says, "But behold, in the last days, as in the days of Enoch, that a building of a spiritual temple should take place before the physical temple is erected among the people of Zion, in which the words of this book will help the people to carve their hearts, hardened by the traditions and precepts of men, to polish their holiness, and to mold them to the true knowledge of my gospel, in order to fit like a living stone in the spiritual structure of the temple of God. Mm-hmm. And having passed on one generation after another, there being no more poor people among them, and being of one heart, then there is to be erected a physical temple, where I, the Lord, will descend among my people in the last days, just as it was in the days of Enoch." So
it's logical, you know. Yeah. I think it's like with what we talked earlier with the true or not true, it's in the similitude. So we have to learn that before there is physical things, we were there probably, you know, with before the world was getting the best things in order and teaming up with Jesus in the whole freedom, that you can't push people around, but that you have to be interested and be collaborators with the Father, that it is the only way that you can be of one heart. You know, the physicality of it, you are physical different. So, but I know a poet, he said, our distance tells us lies. But that's so beautiful about the gospel. We can overcome the distance. We can be one through these new techniques and through what we have experienced in our lives with listening to music, or being in the same room in the church, or even watching a movie with your family, maybe, there is some kind of oneness. So this must be the foundation, and from peace. So that's why in the middle we have the holiness of the sacrament and the seventh day to learn to spiritualize our lives, and to make it whole, like not only spiritualize, it's also the kingship, I think, and the adoption of making his power manifest through the feelings of in the names. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I just wanted to make a comment just when you were earlier talking, you know, posing all the questions about Moses and, or I mean, Noah and him being asked to do this and how challenging it was and how everybody thought he was crazy and they were mocking him and laughing at him, and, you know, and I remember hearing, it was kind of during the hype of all the COVID stuff and people were talking about, you know, in the beginning, everybody thought that anybody thought that this was a created virus, that they were just cuckoo, you know, and that, you know, it was a conspiracy theory. And, you know, now we, not too long into this, we realized that that was the truth. And I remember this man, he was actually from Israel, and he said, you have to remember that, you know, in the days of the Bible, Noah was called a conspiracy theorist, right? And then look what happened. So, you know, I think that that's somewhat, we can feel that way and we can get those kind of like responses from people, like thinking that we're like, woohoo, you know, we're pretty cuckoo. Like, what are you talking about? You know, we're supposed to be meeting in Missouri, and, you know, like, you can feel very alone and you can feel a lot, I'm sure, how Noah felt. So to me, a lot of like what this means to me is to, I have to have that strong belief and confirmation in my own spirit and my own soul to know that, you know, we are going to be mocked and people are going to think that we're conspiracy theorists. But ultimately, in the end, we will see what, you know, what's really going to turn out. So anyway, just a little thought on that.
Yeah. One thing that the sealed book has taught me that I never thought about before was how the plan, God's plan, has been a set plan, very logical, from the beginning of time, and will go all the way to the end. That the Old Testament used to just be a stuffy little book that didn't mean anything to me, and now I love to read it, because there's so much in it that teaches us that people went through this before and God helped them, and it's like a lesson plan for us. So when the sealed book came along, I really enjoyed reading that. And then it was more like, oh, there's stuff in here I didn't know. So the scriptures that I've picked out, I feel kind of lead us down a path throughout the book. As we, you know, you read any book, you start at the beginning, you're going to learn. And that these verses have helped move our thinking along. And Brother Bob, I appreciate what you said. I think it was right on for all of the way that we've addressed things and we think about it in our mind. And I think Mauricio really had to get us to think about the spiritual side, because without that spiritual side, then Zion's not going to work. So who could read Sealed Book Moses chapter 3 verses 62 to 65?
I can read that.
Okay.
Moses 3:62 to 65?
Yes.
No. In no way can my people live the height of my priesthood in a united order, as it did in the days of Enoch, without the noblest and high feelings in their hearts, all derived from charity, which is the purest expression of the love of God among the children of men. Much less you can effect any ministry, whether it be healing or powerful works, without any of the feelings derived from this greatest gift. This, therefore, is the procedure among the various ministries which are in the priestly order of the only begotten Son. For no authorized representative in the sacred order of my priesthood can perform any miracle, such as healing, unless there is the gift of compassion in your heart when they pray with hands on top of the sick. Your actions will be, your action will be in vain if there's no corresponding feeling within you to do the work, whatever it may be. This, therefore, is the secret, sacred, sealed, I'm sorry, this, therefore, is the secret sealed, which must be hidden from future generation until Shiloh, in the meridian of time, comes, and an appendix demonstrative of the full power of my holy priesthood be given through him to be revealed again in the final part of the fullness of times, when at last this book, which I command that you seal it, will be again exposed to the remnants of my people in the last days.
Thank you.
I would have rather read anyway.
I felt that these verses really explain the spiritual component that we have to have. The love of God, how we can express that to others, and how the priesthood is going to work when the time comes that we are together and we've been gathered spiritually. How do we make the priesthood work, and why isn't it working now? So that's what I felt about these verses. Any other comments?
I was just going to say that where it says in an appendix demonstrative, I changed that to be an introduction demonstrative of the full power of my holy priesthood be given. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at the name Shiloh, because I had a note here that says with the footnote is Genesis 49 verse 10, the inspired version of Joseph Smith. And I don't know if it's in the new translations, but I can't find it, so I was wondering.
Inspired version 49:10 says essentially the same thing. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and under him shall the gathering of the people be.
And Shiloh, what is the
that's
word?
Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Hebrew.
Okay. Well, anyway, interesting word to discover.
Yeah. Verse 64. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, one more thought. Your action will be in vain if there's no correspondent feeling within you to do the work. And then this, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty profound knowledge to be found in the sealed book.
Mm-hmm.
That's enormous consequences, that every feeling connected with the work is in vain if it's not with the right feelings, whatever it may be. So if God knows all our thoughts, actions, and as we all believe, I think, it's an enormous, and it's interesting that it, which must
enormous
be hidden.
Concept.
Yeah, enormous concept. And the secret hidden, the secret sealed, which must be hidden. Why must, should it, you know, it had to be
it
hidden, because otherwise we wouldn't appreciate the simplicity and the marvelousness of it, you know, that you couldn't have thought it up. It had to be planned.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting, I think, and helps especially lost kids in with identities. If you could, you know, fix your own hypocrisy,
mm-hmm.
you realize it.
Well, it also was a question yesterday. Why was it kept until these times? And yeah, I think the short answer is to keep it clean, to keep it pure, so that no one is messing with it.
Right.
Like in the, before in scriptures, what had what did happen?
Yeah, we could be moved through the simplicity, I think, and already knowing the word, some of the words in the new context could melt our hearts. So that's a thought.
When you remember, and I don't know where it is, but in the book it talks about how might have been in Moroni, how the church is in apostate and that the priesthood doesn't work anymore. And you know, perhaps the point of keeping all of this safe and hidden and then bringing it out is to also teach us why we have to set apart those traditions and look forward to what Christ is bringing to us. Why is it, you know, some people would just say to you, what do you mean the church doesn't work? And what do you mean the priesthood doesn't work? You know, they don't have a concept. And what the sealed book has done is tell us exactly why there is no, why our actions are in vain, unless we can build together. Now, I haven't been to a priesthood meeting. I have no idea what they teach in there. But I don't know that anybody has been taught this concept of making that priesthood work. What does it mean within yourself when you're giving a priesthood blessing?
Well, and what's then interesting is that women and also other people who do not have the priesthood, but can also heal. It's in the sealed book.
Yeah.
So
through grace
and of course there also is healing in LDS, you know, like it doesn't matter what kind of church you belong to. If your feelings are really right, then through Christ we can heal.
Yeah, well, I think that's confused a lot of people. You know, they might see something happen in one church or another church, and then people are totally confused because it's not consistent.
It's predicated upon our faith.
Right.
Isn't it? It's predicated upon our faith and
feelings.
Yeah. And, you know, our connection with God. I mean, you know, I think I mentioned this, but it was quite some time ago, but with my daughter and her condition, it's very, very rare and it's very confusing and no one knows how to respond to it. You know, I'm still dealing with knowing how to respond to it. And she hasn't been doing really great lately. And in the past, I went to my neighbor who's known me my whole life, who's been a regional representative. And I asked him to give her a blessing and she refused to get out of the car, you know? And so then he just was like, oh, Susie, okay, I guess, you know, you should just come back another day. And I'm standing there going like, what? Like, why can't you walk to the car and put your hands on my daughter's head and give her a blessing, you know? And I walked away that day just knowing that I had to rely on me. I'm the one who gives my daughter blessings now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just like, I was just so baffled. I'm like, I don't know. I haven't seen miraculous miracles, but I have seen in my blessings that she is calm and peace comes. And maybe it's just temporary for a couple hours or whatever, but I don't know. It's been pretty mind blowing how just like what this is saying, that we must have correspondent feelings or everything's going to be in vain. And that's what I just see so many people just being like robots and just like going here and checking off the box and okay, you know, just like they're just showing up with the action, but their heart isn't there. And, you know, that's why I love the SIL book so much, because that's what it always is focusing on, is the heart and how important the heart is, you know, because without that, it all is vain. It's all completely vain.
Yeah. Thank you, Suzanne. Definitely, just to add to that, I have seen that robot action when people are giving priesthood blessings. So I do see that also. Let's try the next one. It's Sealed Book of Moses. Go ahead.
Sister Genia, sorry to linger on this verse, but I'd like to just mention the perspective of where we are in the course of events of human history. And this is, of course, made plain with the sealed book and the second invitation, that it is the second invitation. There's no third invitation, according to the scriptures. And Jesus wants redemption to come to the earth, that the kingdom of Satan would be, you know, defeated and righteousness prevail. And to me, what's happening, why this information that we were talking about is kept till the end times, is that Jesus is preparing his team.
He's not having a meeting?
Jesus is preparing his team for victory. And we know, for example, the golden age of the Nephites lasted 200 years or so. And then they had destruction. The whole nation was destroyed because it's not sustainable. The kingdom of God on earth, righteousness is not sustainable without Christ being here, because of the power of Satan around us. And what's happening is fulfilling what's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It makes clear that Christ is the one who's directing this. He says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And so the tools for victory are in the sealed book, at least, you know, we got part of them at least. And if this had been given in the days of Joseph Smith Jr., it would have been, like I was saying, it's not sustainable. What am I trying to say? He's positioning his team for victory, but it has to come soon, because in the long term, it won't work. I mean, am I clear, trying to get my point across? Is it we're at the end, and I think it's going to come sooner than what we think.
I think what you're saying is we need to wake up now, because now is the time. And it's going to happen now. If with us or without us, it will happen. And we better wake up so we can be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, amen.
Yes.
Amen. Who's on the Lord's side?
Yes.
Now is the time to show. We'll ask it fearlessly. Yeah. So important to have the right feelings. Thank you so much.
Okay. Do you guys want to stop here and finish this next week?
Well, you asked a lot of questions in your lesson.
Maybe we can go next week again.
Yeah, because I had some thoughts. One of them is, why not an RV? You know, if you need to go to Brazil, why not an RV? It is possible, you know.
I'm not sure. There's gas and the cartel, and the drive is long, and I don't know if you can even do it that way. You know, that's what I was thinking. Just
me neither. But you know, the Lord will find a way. And if you stay close to the Lord, then He will guide you and make known to you what the next step might be. But we also have to sometimes undertake action, and then the wonders will follow. Is my experience.
Faith precedes the miracle.
Even more since I'm reading the sealed book and getting to know more about the sacred secrets of God. So that's wonderful.
And we must not forget.
It'd be an RV once you get there, but I don't think you can really get there by an RV.
Yeah.
It's all about
I don't know,
practicing faith, exercising faith. I think if we have to have the faith of the brother of Jared, and also interesting that the miracles Jesus performed in the Americas with the Nephites were bigger than in Palestine because they had more faith. So it's like I love what Brother Keckler said, that we have to it's only one time, you know. It's only one time it's happening, and it's in the time is limited. So I think we sometimes underestimate how much He is able to bless us if we really dare to believe what's in here, with the good feelings of the names, and that we could be charged with so much more if we only acknowledge Him in all things, like in the planets and all at the same time. You know, it's that's hard. If you make your will more as Him, it's hard. Thank you.
Yeah, Sister Jeannie, you're not thinking about driving an RV to Brazil, are you?
I don't own one.
It's too dangerous. I can tell you some stories, but don't think about doing that.
No. Kind of my point was that, you know, everybody's really thinking they're going to the mountains here in Utah, and that's where they're going to be safe and live in their RV. It does not take into any account that not everyone lives in Utah, and how you can't drive your RV across the ocean, you know, that there's more to this. And so we've been taught these traditional things, but there's more that we have to live and learn and have the faith in, like Harm said. You know, that's what I said. I don't even know if Brazil has RVs, you know. That's not the answer. The RV is not the answer. But the power of God, the power of the priesthood that will, as we become more spiritual and united, that power is what is going to build the city of refuge. And we might all get down there with just the clothes on our back, but the Lord's not going to leave us in that position. He might just put a dome over the whole city, and we'll be so protected. You know, we can't know what the Lord is going to do until we have the spiritual togetherness that we are putting together first, and that's relying, that's the faith that we have to start using, actions, which Balki and Harm are doing. They're going to Brazil, so yeah. So
go ahead, Suzanne.
No, I have this written down. I've been taking notes. I'm just like, that there's only one. There's only one invitation. There's only one second invitation, not a third. And Jesus is preparing His team. Are we going to be on His team?
Yeah.
That's the question. Are we going to be on His team? And just thank you. I really needed to be here today. I've been kind of a rough week, and not anything like Jeannie's, but, but yeah, so fearlessly. Yep. Fearlessly, we have to just go forward in faith. And yep. So anyway, thank you.
Okay. Maybe once share one little, very little stuff. God makes little things big. I'm 2 years musician with four people. And we, for the first time, I thought maybe we should write something about lyric. We're just addicted jazz musicians to music, addicted to all the notes. And but I also have also and then a butterfly came in. It came across the table with really like looking at the individual people and going away. And so I thought maybe we write a song about the butterfly. And if you know the calendar of the Aztecs, it's all about butterfly and the you know, if everything counts to Jesus or looks to points to Jesus and his overcoming death, isn't that amazing? So I and later we got the confirmation when we recorded the song, the guy who mixed it at his home place, when he got the recordings, there was also a butterfly inside. So we have to learn to, that's also something I contemplate a lot. It's together, we have to do it together. And together is to be together. And we have to acknowledge the importance of the other guy, the other woman, or the other family member, that it's not the same. It's not the same, but we have the same Jesus, the same advocate with the Father. It's the same way. But I was having doubts to share, because and one time you get into the seal book, you can see God everywhere. And mm-hmm. and you also have to do something yourself. So, but I thought it might be important to share the butterfly, because it's so beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Wow. I didn't realize that the Aztec calendar had to do with butterflies. I guess I have a lot to learn. But
death and life.
Mm-hmm. The crystallis.
I'll have to share with you later, but I actually wrote a song about a butterfly.
Yeah, but this song is totally not about the butterfly, that I have to add.
Okay.
No, this is another song.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's the moment of the power of the word, you know? If the musician is always busy with the next melody or rhythm, or but to write a song, you know, to write words down, that you have to have a story to tell. And then all the things come, and that's a totally different ballgame. That's about the spiritual thing, you know. The music doesn't have to be spiritual at all, I think, if you don't have a intent, you know. But mm-hmm. it's a whole different story.
Wow. Yeah. So anyway, I wrote the words. My friend wrote the music, but it's an allegory of like looking to the Son of God. So it's about like the actual Son and then the actual Son of God. But anyway, I'll share that at another time. We probably should finish up.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to stop the screen share. Or maybe I'm just going to turn it off. Okay, there you go. And I'm going to stop the recording.